Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also heard on the Rapture Ready Radio Network, which is the network of our sister Jackie Eleanor, who's our guest today. And today we're going to be talking about John Hagee. Now, John Hagee, is he just a nice grandfatherly type of Pastor Hagee, or is he a heretic? Is something wrong over there at Cornerstone Church? So we're going to find out, because Jackie visited there, and she also put up a very excellent expose on YouTube. So I don't know if we're going to get to Ed Young Jr. today, but we just might get there. So let me bring my guest on. I'm not sure the chat room is working. I don't see it here on my switchboard, so if anybody's trying to get into the chat room, I'm sorry, I don't see it for some reason. Hiya, Jackie.
How you doing, Susan?
Yes, I'm hanging in there.
Well, same here.
Yes, through many toils, trials, and snares, I have already come. Amen.
Amen. And I'm sure there's more to come.
Yeah. I know, just when I go, whew, glad that one is over, then something else comes. But the world is getting stranger and stranger. I mean, did you ever think you were going to see a bunch of candidates running for president that are so wacky as what's being presented to us at the moment? But I think that because we're church people, and it's wacky enough out there in the so-called church world, but yet there's still some kind of balance in our thinking. So all of a sudden we're being hit with these people, and I'm saying to myself, where do these people come from? I mean, how did it ever get this bad, you know?
Well, I think that, of course, the tables really turned when Barack Obama was put in office. Everything went downhill from there.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't as radical. He was radical, but he wasn't as radical as the ones that are actually running now, and they don't mind saying that they're communists. Never mind socialist. And at one time, we were fighting against the communists in this country. So, and
I know.
I mean, embracing it.
Yeah. And at one time, you know, trying to destroy our Constitution was a traitorous offense. We were supposed to, you know, uphold the Constitution, all of the oaths that are made in government in the highest realms to the lowest is the upholding of the U.S. Constitution. And these candidates are all throwing that out the window.
Yeah, they want to rewrite the Constitution or forget about the Constitution. Anyway, it's thank God I probably don't have that much longer to live, but who knows how long you're going to live, really. But you could live to be 100 or more. And
sure.
I don't know what it's going to be like then. I hate to think about it, because you notice that even when you go out to the stores and or you're calling for customer service, like customer service, so what? They tell you off now.
If you can even get a live person, because you have
yeah,
to put
yeah.
one for this and two for that and three for that. And then you get another recording now if you want this. You get press 2, 3, hit the star button. I mean, it's insane.
I know.
That's our world.
That's our world. That's our world. But anyway, tell the people that don't know about this ministry that you have now of visiting the churches. What's it all about?
What's it all about, Alfie? Well,
yeah,
it's a series I'm doing called Genuine or Counterfeit? And I've been doing some church hopping since I landed into Texas in the fall last year, because this is the Bible Belt. And so I thought, well, I should check out some of these churches. Of course, I found my own church, and so I can't really, I'm not as free on Sundays to run out to a different church every Sunday, but I'm hoping to continue. I've been doing about one a month, and I want to do, you know, beef that up a little bit, but not every month, again, because of my own involvement in my own fellowship. But I just wanted to get a bird's eye view as to where the church stands today. And, you know, we're really in the post-Christian era. I mean, this really is the time of the formation of the great whore, and I'm watching it form. So by going to all these different churches that represent different elements, or as some people would call it, tribes of the church, you can see where Christianity itself is kind of going at. But, you know, unless you get out there, boots on the ground, and go and see things in person, up front and personal, all you can do is just interpret stuff you might see online or something, or you might see what churches are up to. But the other thing, besides taking the pulse of where the church is, I also wanted to help people, especially new believers who don't have as much experience with what to look at to see if the church that they're looking to be a part of really is a New Testament or is somewhere close to the book of Acts, which is really, you know, they ain't going to find that. But anyway, as close as they can get to that. And the kind of signs to look for when you go into a church. And so it's really a service to younger believers too. And even some people who are older believers who are just, unfortunately, there's too much head in the sand mentality with Christians today. Oh, we don't want to be too critical. Oh, don't judge. And all of that's to their own harm, because if they don't assess it, judging, you might as well use the word assess. So to judge something is to assess it, to size it up to see if it's true. So in that way, that is proper judgment. But so many say, oh, you don't want to judge. Well, you'd better judge. You'd better assess to see if what you're getting involved in is valid or not. And so that's by visiting these churches and showing the things to look for, you know, like what kind of books are they selling? What are they promoting? A lot of them have a book table or a bookstore, and you can look at, you know, who are they promoting, and you can look at the reverence in the worship. Is there any, or is it just, as most of them are today, a floor show, you know? And so all of those kinds of things. There's of course the you know, do they bring Bibles or do they supply Bibles? Is the Bible even opened? Some of these churches, they don't even bother with that part.
That's
I mean,
true.
you look at the Joel Osteen services on TV, and he holds up the Bible and he says, "I am what it says that I am." Yeah, sinner, heading to hell unless you're born again. That's what you are. And I can, you know, I have all the things and all this, and he holds up the Bible and then he sets it down. He doesn't open it again for the rest of the service. So those are other, there's so many things that could raise a red flag that you can then follow up and find out about. And you know who their associations are? Unfortunately, there's some denominations who might have a good reputation, but those are really going downhill fast. I was just mentioning to you that there's a church nearby here that I may be doing one of those field trips to, that has just decided that they would allow same-sex couples to be elders and everything in the church. And this is an Assemblies of God church. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you're a Pentecostal, you might think, well, Assemblies of God church, you know, they're valid. Well, they've they've been going astray for a long time, ever since they allowed Benny in. And well, even before that, there's always been division.
Even before that, because even though we tried to think that the Assemblies of God was legitimate, didn't they have Branham and they had Hagen? So here, was it Branham that belonged or Jack Coase? One of those, anyway. Hagen, definitely.
You know who I'm thinking? Allen, A.A. Allen, I believe.
A.A. Allen, okay. That's
And he started a lot of some of the crazy stuff, or he carried it on from Branham, and and then of course was it Shambach, R.W. Shambach? He was Assembly of God, but was he was follower of A.A. Allen, wasn't he? A.A. Allen's sidekick.
I think he
Was kind of like Ed McMahon is to Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
Here's A.A. Allen.
Yeah, well, that's a whole another story. All that bunch. So they always were kind of on the fringe, but of course, me being Word of Faith and charismatic Pentecostal for the first 15 years of my Christian walk, I was into all that stuff. So then when I was starting to figure out, it wasn't really following the Word of God. It's always kind of been acceptable, Assemblies of God, in many circles.
Yeah, so they've, and now the Southern Baptist Association has totally embraced the contemplative movement, and you know, a lot of the liberal ideas and stuff, and so they're really going downhill now, from what I have seen. And so many, a couple of the churches that I did do gender and counterfeit episodes on YouTube were like New Life Church, and they'll have these Southern Baptist churches that are, they're affiliated with Southern Baptist, but they used to be called the First Baptist Church of, you know, Squaresville or something like that, and then they changed the name to something that's more catchy. So they don't want to use the term Baptist. And I even asked this one fellow at this New Life Church, which took away the name Baptist, though they still are officially affiliated. And he says, well, the name Baptist is, you know, not such a, it kind of can mean different things to different people. And we kind of want to stay away from it because it turns a lot of people off. They think of these fundamentalists, you know, when they hear that term.
Yeah,
what he said. That's what the elder told me. You know, but somehow they have to keep the affiliation, because with denominations, the denomination owns the building. They own the whole nine yards. So you can have your elders change the name of the church, but if you try to leave these denominations, they'll just take everything you got and say, that's ours. I don't care if your congregation built it. It's ours.
Yeah. Well, that's, I never liked, belonging to these organizations, as far as I didn't want anybody controlling me, so I didn't like it. And that's what happens if you sell out, and that's what happens if you decide you're going to leave, then they shun you, and then, like you said, they'll take everything that you built, or
your congregation built.
Yeah,
they take it away from the congregation.
Yeah, they do. So it's just not worth it. It's better to be out on your own and obey God for whatever he's telling you to do for yourself, because you have to compromise somewhere along the line in order to get the salary and to get the building and all that. So
people have to realize that we don't get into heaven by a community. We get into heaven individually.
Yes.
You must be born again. Jesus made it very personal. You must be born again, not this community or that group. And we get in on a group pass. No, it doesn't work that way. But some people, you know, that was a really Roman Catholic idea. Well, as long as you sign your name, you get baptized and confirmed. Okay. Then you get in on our authority. And a lot of Protestants kind of have seen things that way, too. That's why they have memberships and all of this kind of stuff. Okay, so now you're a member, so you're good to go. That's, you get in on a group pass. But you each must be born again. And you know, that message is really, that message has really been lost in pulpits and in me just monitoring messages of different pastors online. I don't see any emphasis on the fact that we have to be set apart, that we have to be born again, and that no one can just become a Christian just by, you know, making some decision. We have to be, you know, we can't. I carried a message from Chuck Smith on my Time of the Signs that I do on Saturday night, and I love how Chuck had put it, that you don't become a Christian and live like one because you decide you're just going to reform. And I know he was taking a stab at the Reformation. You don't reform. That's not how you become a Christian, by reforming your life and saying, okay, I'm going to believe in God and I'm going to reform the way I live. No, you must be transformed by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You can't even come unless the Father Spirit draws you. And then he transforms you. And then you become as the Son, as you are being transformed, as you walk in obedience to him. And I think that whole born again, new life in Christ message has gone, I don't know, it's gone by the wayside, unfortunately. And you're certainly not going to hear those messages in these modern mega churches. And believe me, where I live in Central Texas, there's a mega church on every corner. I've never seen a place more church going. And that was one of the reasons I was encouraged to be here. But, you know, again, I won't go into why I landed here. It had nothing to do with that. But I've lived in Texas before. I graduated from Texas A&M Corpus Christi, as a matter of fact. So The Lord led me back to Texas again. I've lived here in the past. And you don't want to tell anybody around here that you come from California, because I don't directly come from California, though I was born there and raised there. And, you know, left when I got married in 1987. However, you know, this is the Bible Belt still. It's still the Bible Belt. And in spite of the fact that it's the Bible Belt, the church here, I feel, because it's the Bible Belt, is very representative of Christianity across the country, though it's more condensed here. And that's why I wanted to take advantage of living here to really get a glimpse of what church life has become. And unfortunately, it is materialistic, it's carnal, it's success in this world. I mean, it is Joel Osteen all over the place. All these churches are trying to get you excited that come to Jesus and he'll make you a success. You'll be great like he is. You'll be able to have all your prayers answered. Every carnal little desire you have can be accomplished if you sow the seed and obey the leadership and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's formula. Yeah, formula, yeah. Christianity and entertainment and the floor shows that they put on.
Yeah, well, that's not going to get you through life, obviously. But an interesting side note is that Joel Osteen has actually been invited to help Morris Cirillo, of all people, open his On Legacy Center. Imagine that. So
that's easy to imagine. And because, you see, they've had a lot of cross-pollination via TBN. Both of them have been very much embraced. Oh, even by the heir, the Matthew Crouch heir, has gone after some that looked a little bit more mainstream. And when I say mainstream, I mean who's flocking to see whom. And so, because Joel Osteen has the biggest church in America, boy, he's a good one for TBN to land. And of course, Hagee, his church was absolutely packed out the day that I went to visit. But, you know, as I point out in my my feature on about him on YouTube, the reason it was more packed out than usual is because it was the anointing day. And that was the day that everybody was going to come forward, and everybody was going to be, every member that was there, not member, every visitor, everybody would get the anointing. And I was, and the elder who was walking me from the parking lot to to the church. Seriously. He says, this is your lucky day. I said, oh, I'm visiting. I'm just visiting here. Well, it's your lucky day. Everyone, you get to get the anointing of oil today. And I said, oh, that's nice, but I'm not sick. And he says, oh, that's not just for being sick. I said, well, I'm not being ordained either. And so he says, no, he says, everybody has a yoke. It'll break whatever yoke you must have.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah. I mean,
oh,
okay.
Wow, it's that simple, right? Wow.
Every yoke. I said, well, let's see, what's my yoke? Maybe loving ice cream is my yoke. Will it take away that desire for ice cream?
I love ice cream.
That's my only yoke, okay?
I have to put myself on a ration. It's only once a month. chocolate truffle. Okay, I happen to have that audio. Let's play the yolk audio here. I'm going to play it. Oh, here it is. Matthew.
You and I have an enemy who wants us to live in a yoke of bondage. He's that serpent of old. The Bible calls him the devil. And whenever you wear his yoke, you don't have free will. You have to do what he says you. If he says worry, you worry. If he says drink, you drink. If he says smoke, you smoke. If he says have an attitude, you've got an attitude. Because you're walking around in a yoke of bondage that you can't get rid of, but there's a powerful anointing that doesn't get rid of it, it breaks it.
Like this? Well, I haven't. that was a first, and of course, we let everybody past us. We didn't need. We were going to hang on to our yoke. But I was there with a couple of friends, and in fact, one of my friends I was there with already got rid of his yoke of cancer. He's a cancer survivor. So, but that was Matthew Hagee speaking. So. That's the son of John Hagee. John Hagee was up on the stage too. The two of them were up there together.
He sits on his throne up
there. That's right. That's right. Yeah, he sits on his throne up there. And of course, everybody wanted to go on John Hagee's aisle up there, and go that way instead of to Matthew Hagee. But, I guess they show John Hagee as the senior pastor and Matthew Hagee is the lead pastor. You see, it's a dynasty,
has to be beholden to Papa because he can't break out on his own. Papa has to watch him.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Biden, of Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, right?
Yeah,
they get rich off of their father's position because these peaceful people are wealthy and extremely
tithes and offerings coming in, man. wealthy. He's got a $20 million jet that he has
yes.
to fly around. Then give me a break. Oh, please.
I know. And then that ranch, that, what was it, 58-acre ranch place that they'd go hunt, that's on hunting lands that they go hunting on, and they got an airstrip on it, okay?
Yeah, I have that audio. Let's play it about the ranch now. How do you think these people get so wealthy? Is it because they have the anointing and they can teach you how to get the anointing and then you could be rich like them, right? Let's hear about the ranch, John Hagee.
Stone Oak neighborhood suggests that Hagee's prosperity theology has served him well. With its white brick buildings and meticulously manicured vegetation, the 28-acre property could easily be mistaken for a small liberal arts college. The church's website also offers up dozens of DVDs, gospel CDs, and books, nearly all authored by John Hagee, son Matt or wife Diana. But the extravagance doesn't end at the church property. In 2000, the John C. Hagee Royalty Trust, an entity whose trustee is Hagee's brother-in-law, Scott Farhart, paid more than $5.5 million for a 7,600-acre ranch in Brackettville, Texas. The site raises cattle in a partnership with the Texas Israel Agricultural Research Foundation, a nonprofit also run by the pastor. It also charges a pretty penny for visitors to hunt exotic game on site. Photographs of the property posted by a real estate group representing the ranch show a sprawling limestone and wood timber estate decorated with enough taxidermy and antlers to rival downtown San Antonio's Buckhorn Hall of Horns. The massive kitchen outfitted with stainless steel appliances is larger than that of many restaurants. The ranch, equipped with a private airstrip, even earned the distinction of being named Field and Stream Magazine's Lodge of the Month in August 2006. Accommodations are first rate, with a huge lodge, well-appointed bunk rooms, and meals cooked by a full-time chef, the review gushed. According to the Bexar County Appraisal District, Hagee and his wife also own three separate single-family homes inside the Dominion, an exclusive North San Antonio enclave favored by San Antonio Spurs and the city's most successful business executives. The structures range in value from $345,000 to $735,000. Additionally, Hagee's enterprises have owned at least two private jets since the mid-2000s. Federal aviation records show that John Hagee Ministries purchased a Cessna 650, a business jet that typically seats up to eight people, and later upgraded to a Dassault Aviation Mystère Falcon 50, a three-engine jet that sells for more than $20 million when purchased new. Opaque earnings. While public records hint at the scope of Hagee's wealth, they offer an incomplete view of how much his organizations and family own, how much they earn it, and how donors' money is being spent. And that's precisely the way his organization wants it, critics charge. Hagee converted his nonprofit group Global Evangelism Television into a church in 2004, freeing him of the requirement to file publicly accessible tax returns. The maneuver came after the San Antonio Express News revealed the pastor's $1 million a year salary made him highest paid nonprofit executive in the city. While federal law requires nonprofits to file publicly accessible 990 tax forms detailing their finances, there's no such requirement for churches. That level of secrecy surrounding Hagee's many holdings doesn't sit well with Pete Evans, an investigator for the Trinity Foundation, a Dallas-based nonprofit that roots out financial fraud at religious organizations. "I would never give money to an organization that's this financially opaque," said Evans, a player in the 90s probes that brought down Dallas-based evangelist Robert Tilton. Hagee's multitude of organizations are not at all transparent. Evans prepared a report on Hagee as part of 2007 testimony before the U.S. Senate Finance Committee on televangelists' financial excesses. The document chronicles a litany of assumed names, or DBAs, for Hagee's church and at least three active for-profit corporations founded by the pastor. When we look at Hagee's organization and see a lot of similar names and DBAs going back and forth, it raises red flags, Evans said. It leaves the door wide open for self-dealing. It appears as though there's a huge opportunity to transfer nonprofit assets into for-profit enterprises.
All right, so I stand corrected. It wasn't 58 acres. It was 7,000.
7,000 acres. Oh, my word. You know, it's a good gig if you could get it, let me tell you. All you have to do is be a little charismatic, be a good public speaker, and keep those tithes and seed faith offerings coming in, and you can be as wealthy as the Hagees.
Yes, and you know, John Hagee started out Assembly of God. We were talking about the Assemblies of God, and that's how he started out. And he, you know, I think he really went totally astray with his association with Paul and Jan Crouch, and they started using him on the praise-a-thons to try to, you know, promote the give to get thing, and the phones were ringing off the hook. So, you know, they kept using him on praise-a-thons to, you know, to get the people to compel them to give to that enterprise.
Yeah.
And it comes down to the dollar sign over and over again.
Over and over again. It really does, because Jesus, he doesn't lie, and he didn't lie when he said that the love of money is the root of all evil. So it's kind of tricky. It's a very tricky situation, actually, when you're in any kind of a public ministry. It's very, very tempting to walk over on the wild side. It's very tempting, because you kind of, I think all of us come to that crossroads in public ministry, and then you make the decision, I'm not going that way. No, I'm going to go.
Well, that was the temptation, one of the temptations the devil gave to Jesus on the Mount. Look at all this. I'll give it all to you if you will only worship me. And unfortunately, that same temptation the devil has given to a plethora of televangelists, and they said, yeah, okay.
And they said, yeah, okay. If it means I can have a mansion and a Lamborghini and 7,000 acres and a $20 million jet, I'll say anything. I will lie about Jesus just so that I can have the things of this world. It's very, very sad. And I think to myself, okay, we're doing our little bit, and I'm going to continue to do my little bit to try to make people, sometimes these people actually talk about reforming the church. Well, they don't have any, they're not interested in reforming the church. They say it because it sounds good, but the church needs a lot of reformation. And the biggest area of reformation is the whole giving thing and the whole deception, the whole lying about Jesus, that somehow, some way, God Almighty himself has to have money from you, and otherwise he can't do anything without your tithes and offerings or whatever. Anyway, let's hear what John Hagee has to say about seed while we're on this subject.
Stone Oak neighborhood suggests that Hagee's prosperity theology has served him well. With its white brick buildings and meticulously manicured vegetation, the 28-acre property could easily be missed.
Whoever a man soweth, the Bible says, that shall he also reap. You must become seed conscious, not need conscious. When you look at how much you need, you're looking at the wrong solution. You need to start thinking about the seed. When what you have in your hand does not meet your need, it is your seed, and it needs to be planted. A seed can do nothing until it gets in the soil, and then it can multiply itself many hundreds of times. And this is what the Lord put in my mind. He said, if the godly will not pay the price to advance my cause, I will give their reward to the ungodly because they were willing to do it.
What?
That's the ungodly. The ungodly applauding. Yeah.
Can we stop? Praying for something for quite a while, and it hasn't happened, Judd. Let me see your hand.
Yeah. He's got the solution.
Be patient. Yeah. Keep praying. Extend your hand toward heaven and pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I know you're going to answer my prayer. For with patience, I will pursue the patience of God. Heavenly Father, I ask for a spiritual outpouring into my own personal life to have the faith to practice these principles of prosperity. And now today, as I obey the Lord, I receive the power to get wealth, that God is going to send it to me exceedingly, abundantly, above all I can ask or imagine. God's answer is coming, and I receive it in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a shout of praise in the house of God. Come on now. Bless the Lord.
No wonder those people go out of there confused. These people have to be so confused because on one hand, he's telling you, look your eyes up to heaven, ask God to help you. But yet, in the meantime, then on the other end, he's telling them, if you don't have enough money, give what money you have so you can get more money.
Wow, isn't that insane? So
it is.
And so he's actually the greedy one and telling them to be greedy too. That's what he's teaching there.
Exactly. So the thing is, these poor lost sheep, their lives are never going to be any different than they are, because sometimes people do get it and then they figure out exactly what's going on and they say, hey, this is a stick up and I'm getting out of here, when they finally realize that what's happening. But who's the author of confusion? So we know who the author of confusion is. But these guys can't be honest. They cannot be honest. And it's like I say to myself sometimes during the day when I think about these people, I say, stop your lying.
Again, when he takes that scripture passage out of context, that if you sow this seed, you're going to get this materialistic stuff back that's going to be abundantly beyond all that we can ask or imagine. Then he's quoting out of Ephesians 3:20 that is talking about in context about that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith and you'd be rooted and grounded in love and may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we can ask or think, according to his power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations. Okay, what does that have to do with them getting riches in this world? This has everything to do with us being filled with the love of Christ and all that he... The love and the breadth of the Spirit of Christ. That has nothing to do with getting in this world. Not at all. It has everything to do with the other world, not this one.
It has everything to do with the other world. And that's what we hope to accomplish, because sometimes I hear people saying, and I kind of hear the some of the backlash, which we don't get a lot about, but you can hear people saying, well, how come? Like, is there anybody that's okay? Well, the thing is, the church world is in such a mess. Ultimately, though, everything has to be done according to the Word of God. So if I'm not doing it according to the Word of God, or anybody else is not doing it according to the Word of God, then you shouldn't listen to us. But if we're doing it according to God's Word and we're trying to do it according to God's Word, then we have something to say. But of course, everything has to be according to what God's word says. Everything that we preach to people, that we teach to people. And it has to be done out of a pure heart. Imagine looking at your congregation, getting up on a Sunday morning and looking at your congregation with those dollar signs in your eyes. And you don't even look at people as human beings with feelings and emotions. And instead of telling the people there, look, if you want money, you have to work. You work, you accumulate. That's how you accumulate wealth. You don't spend money you don't have. You don't buy things on credit you can't afford. If you work consistently and save your money, you will accumulate wealth eventually, but it's going to take time. No, they have all the magic answers for people, and there is no magic answer.
Yeah, you know, it makes me think of the parable Jesus gave about the guy who kept building bigger barns to keep all his goods in. And then he says, now your life is required of you today, and all you've accumulated is going to go to others, or to the government or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, I think, you know, as far as looking at scripture, I think what really says it all is in the second chapter of 1 John. John writes, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever.
Yeah.
So, and just after that, we're warned that the Antichrist is about to come. Okay. So it's like that's going to be the message of the Antichrist.
Yes.
Is the love of this world. Because,
yes,
again, with the devil tempting Jesus on the Mount of Temptation, oh, look at all this, all the kingdoms of the world, he wouldn't take it, but the Antichrist will accept it. And he will have all those things. And so these guys are speaking from the spirit of Antichrist when they're,
yeah,
doing the same temptation. Oh, give us more money. Not only more money, but give, if you have in your hand all the money you need to get by on, don't you dare eat that seed. You
gotta give it to us.
Give it to us. Don't pay your rent. Give it to us.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the spirit of Antichrist. Those are,
yes,
doctrines of devils.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's the thing that lately I think about it so much. I think how we're getting set up for that whole system, especially in the so-called church world, because I don't really consider these people part of the real church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's exactly what's going to happen. The false prophet is going to endorse the Antichrist and say, look, follow us. This is it. Look at all the things that we can give you. And people don't care. They don't care now so much. There's just a small remnant of people. But the majority of the so-called church, they're all wrapped up in this stuff about the self-promotion and their destinies and accumulating wealth. Well, you know, life has its ups and downs, and you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Nobody knows, really. You can't say what's going to happen. You just don't know. You think your life is going along so smooth, and then all of a sudden something rocks your boat. But
yeah, like what's rocking Wuhan, China right now? How's your faith and your confessions and your decrees going to help you when that hits your neighborhood?
Well, and it's going to hit. It's going to
hit.
That's just whenever I go out now and I'm around people, I'm very, very conscious, because you don't even know who's carrying this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's very frightening. And then you have all this stuff coming from China, food and all these things that are coming over on these boats and whatever. So you kind of.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it is very, very frightening. You just don't know. They can't clean it. And then the odd thing is, too, about this coronavirus is you see they say, oh, the Chinese are just trying to do everything to stop this epidemic. And they're trying to be so careful about hygiene and everything. But yet they show a video of a hospital emergency room and there's dead bodies on the floor. And then there's people in the emergency room coming for help. I'm like, forget it. Don't tell me trying to contain this thing and trying to be hygienic when you're not. But anyway, it's crazy. But let's talk, Jackie, let's play this one audio here from, now this one was great, about Billy Brim. Billy Brim and Cindy Trim, the duo here, the Brim and the Trim. And these are the two. They kind of go together, right? And these are the two women that John Hagee's wife had for a women's conference.
I didn't say they had them. They've had some other ones for the women's conference, but the women's group. I visited the Facebook page of John Hagee's women's ministry, and so these were two that they were promoting. And telling others to read within that, not that the church itself had these women, but that the women's ministry was people in their Facebook page were promoting these two.
Oh, okay. So let's see what they were promoting. Let's listen, in case you're not familiar with Billy Brim and Cindy Trim.
And in 1981, it was an amazing prayer seminar. I was in Finland, and my daughters, Shelley and Brenda, called me and said, Mom, you got to get home. this prayer conference, has it went on 3 weeks. And Sister Wilkerson saw a white horse come through the wall last night. And so when I got home, the prayer conference was still going, but I went over to Sister Wilkerson's house to see what she had seen. She was a great prayer warrior. She called prayer contact with God. It's not just rote. It's contact with God. And she said, I saw him ride through the wall. It was Jesus. She said, I did not tell the people there it was Jesus. I told them I saw a rider on a white horse. She said, I saw him. He rode up and down the aisles. And she said, sir, what are you doing? And he said, I'm inspecting the troops. And she said, Sister Hagen tapped me on the shoulder and said, he wants you to come up and tell what you're seeing. So she came up and she said, the white horse was still there. And the rider, Jesus, rode up to Brother Hagen, had a scroll in his hand, rolled up, and he tapped Brother Hagen on the chest, and the scroll went into him. And it said, these are your orders until. No man will stop you. No demon will stop you. Satan himself can't stop you. And your own inadequacies will not stop you. Hallelujah. So God has... Hallelujah.
Had been. I don't know if she is since the Paul and Jan died, but she used to come on a lot when what's her sidekick?
Juanita Bynum.
Yes, Juanita Bynum. When Juanita Bynum would come on, she would bring Cindy Trim on, and between two of them, they would do some lunacy stuff. As you can tell from just listening to her. So what I was getting at was even posting that is that the women's ministry, it can go every which way that you want. They'll bring in, like they brought in the singer, Carrie Jobe or Joby, whatever her name is. She's a contemporary Christian artist who won a Dove Award. And so when they do their conferences, they want big names of successful people in this world. Okay, yeah. That's what they highlight. Now, these other ones, they come in the mix like they did on the women's page with the different people that they bring together because there's no teaching to watch out for these false teachers.
Yeah.
They don't watch out. The whole point I was making is they do not watch out for these women. They can do all this wonderful stuff, but then why aren't they looking out for all the people that they're associating themselves with over on their page, which was part of their church page? Okay. So, they don't teach them to have any discernment whatsoever, because that would work against what they're doing if they taught anyone to use discernment. As a matter of fact, I pulled up this women's conference over that's run. It's operated really. This is with Matthew Hagee's wife. The women conference this year in September is called Embraced, And it says, discover your God-given purpose at the Embraced Women's Conference with our very own Kendall and Diana Hagee, best-selling author Lisa Turquist, Grammy Award nominee, oh, she didn't even win one, sorry, Carrie Joby, and the creator of Rustic Cuffs, Jill Donovan. Take advantage of early bird pricing and blah, 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 and get your tickets. And because they're gonna help you discover your God-given purpose. And, of course, your God-given purpose is to be successful in this life and all of that. And you know, it's just that's what the anointing gives us power to get. That's what their anointing is all about, the power to get what you want in this life. And that somehow proves there used to be a book written way back in the 70s called You'll Know Them by Their Cadillacs. And basically, that's how you'll know these people. You'll know them by their acreage.
Well, yeah. The thing is, most people fake it till they make it. That's what used to happen back in the days when I was in Word of Faith. Oh, people were trying to fake it till they make it. They were buying things they couldn't afford and writing bad checks, faith checks. People used to write faith checks and do all these kinds of things. The thing is, it's so sad, really, when you think about it. How
it's a pyramid scheme. What was it? Amway. Amway would promote that. You want to get a Winnebago? Then you got to go diamond or direct. And build up. So the ones that got there first are getting all the stuff that you earn until you can get there on the bottom, and everybody that comes above you can dribble it down to you. This isn't Christianity.
No. It's not Christianity. It's not Christianity because the pastor is lying to you. He's telling you that, look, you see my life? My life is terrific. Look at all that I have. You know how I got all this? I'm a giver. I'm a seed sower. But it's not true. He's collecting 10% from 500 people, 5,000 people, 10,000 people. That's how he got it. If I was collecting 10% from even 10 people, I would be doing mighty fine.
Yeah, you'd be going direct in Amway.
Yeah. But it's just not the way it's supposed to be done. We're supposed to operate our ministries by faith. We're not supposed to be beggars. And we're not supposed to steal from people. So they're all a bunch of liars and phonies. And don't support these people. Run for your life. When people start talking like this, just run for your life. That's it. You know, ridiculous Billy Brim. I mean, these people, they have some kind of imaginations. Jesus came in riding on a white horse, and he was riding up. He was riding up and down the aisles. He came through the wall. Jesus.
That kind of stuff is just, you know, it's called ear tickling. They want their itchy ears scratched, so they get these guys.
I don't remember her, Sister Wilkerson, and then she told Brother Hagen, and she told Brother Hagen, Jesus was here. He came in. I don't know where to get this stuff from.
Well, again, you know, this, if you will, like, I watch what Jennifer LeClaire puts out. She used to be she's a prophetess. And she's in cahoots with Patricia King. And then they put these sorts of so-called visions out on a daily basis. They're seeing all kinds of those kinds of strange things. And then they'll go on Sid Roth's show and discuss it.
Yeah.
and so that's just the kind of thing that it's daily with Patricia King and Jennifer LeClaire. And then they charge you for these classes that you can learn this to get, or you'll learn how to use the seer anointing.
Oh.
And And so, but it's going to cost you some money, but anybody can get to see your anointing if they lay hands on you and they give you their impartation.
Yes,
It's really witchcraft when you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, especially, you know what it is? It's simony. Simon wanted the power so he could, you know, give it to whomever, you know, paid the right price from him, and that he'd have it to give it away and to put it on other people and all of this. And so it's, but as I point out, all of this is just the preamble to the new so-called Christianity that's going to, get rid of all borders. No borders for this new Christianity. Everybody's welcome, and the Pope is at the top of the heap, and all the rest of us who kiss his ring, we're going to be second in command, and it's going to be the new world religion, and that's what it's leading up to, and that's what it's prophesied in the Bible to lead up to.
Yeah.
It's not what anybody coming through the walls and dancing around the stage is going to tell us. It's it's what the Bible tells us, that the great whore is going to form. And it was the thing that really struck the apostle John on the Isle of Patmos when he saw that. It was like, what? You know, Revelation 17, this woman riding this beast, he just marveled. What is that? Well, it's the mother harlot. And as I look at all these churches and see how they're all the so-called Protestants are going towards Catholicism with their contemplative prayer and their monastic stuff, then the Catholic Church are going towards the Protestants, but always with the Pope as the head and with everybody coming there and bringing gifts, including our president and his wife going there and giving gifts to the Pope, even though the Pope hates Trump. Trump will still, he just recently sent Pence there, Pence referred to him as our Holy Father. Okay.
Yeah.
That's blasphemous to even say that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
I don't care if it's his political position as some, you know, representative of America to respond to another, to Vatican City's king, but I don't care what he wants to be called. You don't blaspheme like that.
No. He doesn't have to refer to him in that way.
But that's what it's all about. It's all about, once the rapture happens, I am convinced the great whore will really manifest itself. And again, the Pope is already in cahoots with the UN. They love him. That's their spiritual spokesperson. And then, you know, again, when the Antichrist takes over those systems, he's gonna, you know, the political side's gonna attack the religious side eventually, but they have it coming, right?
Well, they're already doing that. There's already so many people that are being censored. So yeah, obviously we know it's coming. So whatever we can do, we have to do it now, and because there'll come a day when we won't be able to be broadcasting, I believe, the way we are, and we're free. We're still free to say things that we need to say. But definitely the day is coming. But let's talk a little bit, too, about Hagee's false teachings. Now, this, I'm going to play here an audio, and then we'll talk about it. But this one is very, very shocking. Let's listen to John Hagee.
And this blood moon thing, that your book is still on the bestseller list.
I'm delighted to present my latest book, In Defense of Israel. This book will expose the sins of the fathers and the vicious abuse of the Jewish people. In Defense of Israel will shape Christian theology. It scripturally proves that the Jewish people as a whole did not reject Jesus as Messiah. It will also prove that Jesus did not come to earth to be the Messiah. It will prove that there was a Calvary conspiracy between Rome, the high priest, and Herod to execute Jesus as an insurrectionist too dangerous to live. Since Jesus refused by word and deed to claim to be the Messiah, how can the Jews be blamed for rejecting what was never offered? Read it in this shocking expose, In Defense of Israel.
That, to me, says it all.
Yeah. Because he's promoting at that time. Again, that book, I believe, was, what was it, back 2008 or something like that. In that book, he was promoting the dual covenant idea, that the scripture that says, and all Israel will be saved, he's making the assumption that if as long as you follow the old covenant, you're still part of God's kingdom. And, certainly, if he does read scripture, he could see that they were chopped off so we could be grafted in, to the olive tree. And yeah, they can be grafted back in again. And so there is a biblical teaching about Israel being the root. But right now they've been cut off and they've been spiritually blinded, actually, because they rejected him as their Messiah. But back when this whole thing started, I don't know, 2007, 2008, and he came out with that ad and that book, a lot of people in the apologetics community and discernment ministries had an uproar over it. And my husband, my late husband got involved in all of that. And, I was thinking it was Thomas Nelson that was the publisher, but I looked it up, and the New and Improved Version, by the way, I just looked it up on Amazon this morning, is published by Stephen Strang of Charisma Magazine fame. Okay. They're publishing it. And so I believe that all this stuff that he got flack on, that he went back in subsequent editions and took that stuff out because he couldn't defend it. But it just shows where his heart is. And, and again, I talked about writing that letter to the to his ministry, and then being, I wrote them. And said, I wonder if I even have it to where I can read from it. Let me see. I thought I had it. But anyway, I wrote to his ministry to ask, what tracks does his ministry, this one to Israel that he put together, what tracks does he have to share Christ with the Jews? And I got a response back right away saying, we don't do that. We only, we only publish literature directed to Christians to tell them to support Israel. We don't, do any tracks to preach the gospel. And, so that said it all, because to this day, he will deny that he believes in dual covenant, which is, they have their covenant, we have ours, and theirs is just as good as ours, which is pretty much what he teaches in reality. And, he'll say it and then in one breath and then deny it in the next. And so his group that really promotes, they've really got a distorted position on the state of Israel. And, they don't recognize, or at least they won't tell the Jews that they're back in the land for judgment because they rejected their Messiah, and that God is still faithful and he'll give them another chance. And that sets up the whole end time scenario. But that doesn't mean that we should be there helping them build a temple to get the sacrifices again when Jesus is their sacrifice as much as he is ours.
Yeah, exactly. Though the most stunning statement to come out of his mouth is that Jesus was not the Messiah.
Oh, I know. No, he was our Messiah. He was the Gentiles' Messiah, not the Jews. Sorry,
unbelievable.
But on top of his cross, it says, "This is the King of the Jews."
Yeah.
And, of course, the first Christians were all Jews. This was considered a sect of the Jews when after, the apostles were spreading the gospel. And because, what did they do? They went into all the synagogues all over the place to preach it because it was to the Jew first.
Yeah.
And so anyway, the whole mess there, that's his belief in not spreading the gospel to the Jews has become very common among certain Christian circles. There's a charity, I think it's called Bridges of Peace or something like that, that operates in Israel. And though they're Christians, they say sharing the gospel with them is anti-Semitic.
Well, it's also against the law in Israel to share the gospel.
Oh yeah, that little bit.
Yeah. Also, there's the Calvary conspiracy. Like, what's he talking about? Jesus said it himself. He came to die. He said, "No man can kill me." What is he talking about?
He doesn't know the gospel, apparently.
Yeah, obviously. He didn't. He never read it.
And again, he has a warped view of the end times, but you know, it's he is premillennial, but I don't think he's pre-trib, and he won't say, because here he goes on he goes regularly on to Jim Baker's show, he's an avid post-tribber. So not just a post-tribber, but a Kingdom Now sort of guy. They're all looking for this, this final harvest. It's the Rick Joyner sort of idea of Dominion theology, Kingdom Now, and all of that. If he doesn't speak it, he still is in the same fold as those guys who openly teach it, the New Apostolic Reformation and all of their eschatology.
Yeah, that's true. Let's talk. I'm going to play the one now on the blood moon. Well, then we'll talk about that. That was a big one.
And this blood moon thing, it's your book, is still on the bestseller list. It is an amazing book. We've sent it out to our people.
The book, the four blood moons, the thing that triggered my mind in that direction is that Genesis 1:14 says, God said, "Let there be lights in the heaven, let them be for signs and seasons." And the Hebrew word for sign is signal. And I got to thinking that if God is sending a signal, he's obviously sending to us, but are we receiving the signal? What is it that God is trying to sign, to say to us? So I began to think of God's control of the sun, the moon, the stars. He created it. But what creates a blood moon? The thing that creates a blood moon is that the earth is in the middle and the sun is here. The sun's rays are shining through the earth's atmosphere onto the moon, and the moon turns a blood red. Now, only God can get the earth and the sun and the moon in an exact alignment for that to happen. Only God can do that. And then God has very supernaturally announced the exact date that he is going to do that in the past and in the futures. Then you go to Joel, the second chapter, the sun shall be turned to darkness, that's an eclipse, and the moon to blood, that's where I got the four blood moons from, and the moon to blood before the coming and awesome day of the Lord.
If he says these are signals, what do you think God's trying to signal to America?
One, NASA is saying this is the last tetrad is four blood moons. This is the last tetrad that they can see coming as far as they can see into the future, which is hundreds of years.
No.
Yeah. This is the caboose. Jump on or get left.
I like that thing.
But there are a group of scholars in Jerusalem that's all they study, and they can give you an answer. I said, here's the questions I want you to ask them. And I said, fire them off. 10 days later, I got a letter back, and they confirmed this is very real. These are very true messages from God. And I was asking specifically about the solar eclipse in the middle. He said that always represents the judgment of God on Gentile nations.
Ooh.
And so God is saying to Israel, I want you to understand that I'm still in control of everything that's going on, and everybody that's lifting their heel against you is going to rue the day that they ever turned their back on the state of Israel. God is about to do something that's going to balance the scale forever. That's happening right now. And now, Shemitah year, September the 13th, 2015. 2015 is exactly the last blood moon in this tetrad. So you've got the date, you've got the sun, the moon, and the earth, And you now have a Shemitah year where we are going to experience a mighty demonstration of God's power in a very special way that will change the course of history when this is said and done. And it's going to be so obvious, the world is going to know it.
Well, let me just say this. If you're watching the broadcast today and you have not read this book, The Four Blood Moons,
right.
I love what it says on the front. Something is about to happen. Something's about to change. Something, I could add in there, big.
Something big.
Something major. The sign is already. God's billboard is big. How big is the moon? That's big. God sends his signal. And, you know, if you, I keep wondering, is my foundation solid? My Lord God in heaven, the solid foundation, the sun and the moon and the stars declare his glory.
That's right.
And the date and the dates that no man could set.
Yeah.
You try painting the moon red by yourself. No preacher could figure this one out, how to do that. I mean, this is a God sign, and no one can deny it.
And the Orthodox Jewish people can tell you when Passover is going to be, 100 years in the future or 100 years in the past. So these are not things that are inexact. They are precise, exact dates, events, so forth. God is screaming to the top of his lungs, I'm getting ready to change the world.
Every kid can know it. If God's signaling, you remember, people would signal. They'll take a piece of tin or take something, they signal.
That's right.
Well, God's got a great big signal in the sky, the sun and the moon and the stars.
Yes,
and they're shouting now. Get ready. Get ready.
As the king is coming, get ready, get ready, get ready. The Son of God is about to appear in the clouds of heaven, and this world is soon to be over.
So what was the big deal about the blood moon? Like, what happened? I don't think anything really happened.
Nothing. That was 5 years ago. Actually, I believe that he wrote this book in 2014 in anticipation of what was supposed to happen the following year, and he made a fortune from it, and he never came back and apologized, of course.
Yeah.
His bank account is what expanded. That was the sign.
Yeah, that was the sign and the wonder, yeah.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
he wasn't the only one that jumped on that one, on the blood moon, but that's it. I don't know of anything that ever became of it.
Nothing. And that, of course, he was on, that was Jim and Lori Baker that he was talking to. Is it Laura or Lori?
Lori.
Yeah, Lori Baker. So Jim Baker, again, you know, they say God was screaming, this were the dates. Only God could set these dates. The Lord is coming, going to appear in the clouds, you know. And these are confirmed. There's nothing we're making up. I mean, they went on and on and on. Man, you should have gone after, if you believed all of that, you would have gone off and sold everything you had and stood up on that mountain waiting, you know, because that's how sure it was. And one of the clips, I didn't put it in there, but they said that they wouldn't have another lineup of these blood moons right at the time of Passover, which is why they were thinking these were spectacular. It was happening during the time of Passover, and that wouldn't happen for another 100 years. So by their own prophecies, if it didn't happen now, it can't happen again for another 100 years, and those things have to happen before the Lord can return.
Yeah.
So we got another 100 years, folks. Hey, take it easy.
I know, but that's kind of the way it is in Charismania, is that they always have to have something new. There has to be something. So it was Y2K, and then whatever the next big thing was. And then there's blood moons. Oh, everybody was so excited about the blood moons, what was supposed to happen. Well, what happened? What happened? So, okay, it was red. The moon was red. So what does that mean? What does that mean? It was an occurrence, but it didn't have any significance that I could see. I don't see anything that came out of it except, yeah, he sold books, and I think Jonathan Kahn sold books.
Kahn.
I don't know who else.
Mark Biltz. Mark Biltz,
yeah,
is
Mark
a big
Biltz,
one.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he's now turned to Dual Covenant quite a bit. In fact, he's teaching everybody that you're going to have to, pretty much he's a Judahite, to put it that way, that you have to really follow the laws and the Sabbath and all of these kinds of things. He's gone totally into the Hebrew root stuff, something fierce.
Oh, boy.
And his so-called pastor is a rabbi so-and-so. And it's just, again, there's a deception for everybody. The devil's got one custom made for anybody, wherever their weakness is, he'll get them there.
Yeah.
He'll get them on the other side. And that's why at these end times, we really need to watch out for each other because, you know, there's a deception around every corner. And we can't, every individual, be up on everything. And that's where we need one another. You know, and that's why, again, I can invite people to come to my Facebook page, just look up my name, because we help each other. It isn't just me. It isn't just Susan. Everybody keeps an eye on things. And so with our web pages, with our Facebook pages, others are bringing in new things that they see coming. And we can network with each other in order to all be, you know, the awaiting bride, watching out for one another, because all the more so as we see the day coming. Doesn't mean we're all going to be able to gather in a church together. Most churches that you can go to, most of the people in your church aren't even looking at the things that are going on, and they don't really care. They'd rather put their head in the sand. But the ones who are watching and waiting for his return, we get together and we show each other what's going on in our corner of the world to others on the other side of the planet, that we can all kind of keep a watch, because Jesus told us to watch for the signs of his coming, you know, in the Olivet Discourse. We're to watch out for one another also. And that's where I thank God for Facebook. I mean, as long as we have it,
we can use it. Yeah.
We can communicate with one another, and then if a deceiver comes up here or there, and we're all, one of them's pointing the whistle, the rest of us can look into it, and we can all be warned and be careful, because these are perilous times, especially spiritually and, of course, physically, as what we're seeing a preview of already over in China.
Yes, it's very, very true. So that's the thing. We've got YouTube, and we've got Facebook. I don't use Twitter a lot. I use it some, and I haven't really even begun to use Instagram. But there's all these ways that we can communicate with each other and help each other along the way, because we have listeners, we have many listeners over in the United Kingdom and in Canada and in France, Germany. There's listeners in Australia and Singapore, the larger audiences, but we have a low percentage, 1% in most of the countries, but there's still people listening all over the world. So God has, like you say, Jackie, scattered sheep, and we need each other, and we help each other along the way. Like Jackie's video that she did is excellent. If you go to her YouTube channel, it's Jackie Alnor, A-L-N-O-R, and that's her channel. But the video that she did on John Hagee, it's unmistakable that he's a false teacher and a con artist. You can't, after you look at the video, and the evidence is presented from their own mouth. It's not something that she's saying. She presents all the audio clips like we did today. And that's what we do. Basically, that's what we do here, is that we play the things. We take the words right out of their own mouth. You can hear them saying it. We don't say they said it. We don't operate on rumor or innuendo. We tell you exactly what they're saying and what's going on. And so you can hear it for yourself. It's always better to hear it coming from these people. Then you can, when you hear a statement coming out of John Hagee's mouth where Jesus didn't come to be the Messiah.
Yeah, and then you can also watch him say it on the YouTube.
Yeah, you can see the video that she's got, the actual video that she took from when she went to his church, and then when he was also saying these things, she's got the actual video, so you can see it and you can hear it, and that makes a big impression. Then you can't deny it. And I know it might be somebody's pet preacher is John Hagee, and you can't say anything negative about John Hagee. It's not necessarily that, oh, we want to say something negative about John Hagee. These are the words that are coming right out of his own mouth. So he's saying it. If anybody's making him look negative, it's himself. It's not the fact that we're repeating what, that's the funny part, is people say, why are you saying that about this person? I'm not saying it. They're saying it. We're just telling you what they said.
Passing it along. Don't shoot the messenger.
That's it. Don't shoot the messenger. So it's all for our own good, because I was in the Word of Faith movement for 15 years. I believe the teachers, I believe them, and it took me a long time to get free of all that. But God got a hold of me, and God set me free from all that, because I was willing to listen. I was willing to investigate and check things out for myself. And then I found out that what these people were teaching wasn't true. So that's our hope for our listeners, is that if you're involved in any of these false teachings and involved with these false teachers, that Jesus will set you free from it, and that you get back on the straight and narrow. Well, Jackie, I want to thank you. Thank God we finally got this program underway. We were supposed to have the program yesterday. Anyway, all my computers were going cuckoo, and I couldn't get on the air for anything yesterday. So thank God we were able to do this program today. And
it's been worth it. I'm glad that we've got through the whole thing without it cutting out or something.
I know, and I know people miss you, that you don't have your program anymore, because I notice on your network, whenever you're on, the numbers go up. So people are listening, they like to listen to you.
Well, one part of that is because of the research and work that I'm doing for my YouTube channel in order to get the pictures in with the audio. And so,
well, the videos look good. The videos look good, and I want to learn how to make better videos. I want to devote more time to the, because I see where people that are consistently on YouTube, even if they do a daily program or they do a weekly program, their numbers go up. So the more
And I produce the Time of the Signs on Saturday night. I put that together of old messages from sound teachers. And so I'm still very much hands-on with the Rapture Ready Radio Network. It's just that I'm not doing, I may go back to doing the Scattered Sheep Report again sometime in the future when I finish all this other work that I'm doing, and things will change. But it's kind of on a hiatus because I really want to work on it. When I put these videos together, this church hopping stuff with the genuine or counterfeit, a lot of background research goes into it.
Yeah, I could see that. The Peggy one was very well done. It really was.
Yeah, so I can't just, so I don't have as much time on my hands, but things can change. And I think I don't say I ended Scattered Sheep Report. It's on a hiatus while I'm working on other things.
Well, I think it's important that you develop the YouTube channel, because you can really get a large audience there if you do it on a consistent basis. And I reach a lot of people on YouTube, so I'm grateful for that. It's your videos really look good, so it's something that I would like to spend more time on too, is to put out better videos for people. They want the information. There's so many people out there that subscribe to my channel and that are coming to your channel. So there's definitely a hunger for the truth. Anyway, thanks so much, Jackie. It's great to hear you again and to have
you on. My pleasure. It's always pleasure, Susan. We always have a good visit. It's like our phone conversations, only we're streaming it.
I know. It was a great program. Thanks so much. God bless you, Jackie. We'll be talking soon.
You too.
Soon.
Sure will. Bye.
All right, everybody. That's our program for today. So be blessed. And I pray for all of our listeners that God blesses you. And no matter what you're going through, I'm sure everybody's going through something. And we pray that God encourages you. You encourage yourself, too, in the Lord. And remember, though, the most important thing today is, are you born again? Jesus said it. In the third chapter of John, Jesus said, ye must be born again. First, you're born of your mother. And then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. So Romans 10:10 says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. You have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to repent of your sins. This is a personal decision. Jesus Christ came to the earth. He was born of a virgin. He lived for 33 years on the earth. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven. Most people know that story. So he ascended into heaven and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and for me. And no matter what you've done in your life, Jesus can forgive you. And he can give you a brand new life. He promises that he'll do that. He promised that all things would pass away and behold, all things would become new. And I know Jesus gave me a brand new life. He opened up my blind eyes so I could see what the truth is. I don't have to look for the truth anymore. I'm not searching for the truth because I found the truth in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his word. And your search can be over today. So give your life to Jesus. Ask him to forgive you of your sins because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. God bless you. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, that was in the chat room today. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city. Set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there.